shall we read the word of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 35. Jesus wept. And we know the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his holy, infallible word. Shall we pray once again? Almighty God, Father in heaven, we thank thee that as we draw nigh to thee, you will draw nigh to thee. We thank thee, Father God, once again for thy wonderful Son, the one whom we have the honour of calling my Lord and my God. We thank thee, Father God, that we are no longer doubters. We thank thee, Father God, for the gift of faith, the gift of salvation, that free gift that you've given us, you've granted to us, not because of anything we've done, but because of thy wonderful love. Oh, gracious God, how wonderful thou art. And Father in heaven, gracious God, we ask, Lord, for thy gracious help now, in his precious name. Amen. Amen. John 11, 35. Jesus wept. This is the only verse I'm going to deal with this evening. Every one of us in the world, everyone in the world has cried at some stage in our lives. Even if nobody has cried during their adult life or their child life, they've still cried at their birth. We've all cried. But that cry at birth brings a smile to the mother's face. There is joy. There is joy where we can smile, where we can laugh. And there are heartaches where there is immense pain, immense suffering in this world. We've got wars going on in this world, all over this world. People losing their lives. Families are suffering because of this. Is the world weeping because of this? No, it's not. The world goes further and further into sin. That is the way of the world. We go round and round in circles. We never seem to learn anything by our mistakes, by the mistakes of the previous generation, do we? How many of us in here have been weeping over the right things? How many of us in here have been weeping over our sin? When was the last time any of us wept over our sin? I know personally, I should be weeping for my sin every day of my life. I'm a sinner saved by grace, but I still sin and I still need the Lord's mercy within my life. Within my heart, within my mind, within my soul, within my whole being. We need to learn to weep more and more for our sin. We need to come to the Lord in repentance for our sin. There are certain emotional triggers that cause tears and laughter. Sadness and grief. Tears can be triggered by anger. Sometimes we can be so angry, and then later on, we regret being so angry, don't we? And we can be in tears, floods of tears for that. Especially when we know we've been angry at the wrong things. Frustration What about when we become that frustrated at things that are not going right in our lives? Instead of looking to the Lord, we're looking to the world, and we become more and more frustrated. There's happiness, there's laughter, isn't there? Somebody tells a joke, somebody makes a funny remark, we can laugh. And sometimes laughter can bring tears down our face. Joy. But tonight, this evening, we're going to look at what weeping really means. And if we turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 15. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Thus saith the Lord, refrain from thy weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord. And they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. We have the tears of Rachel here. But what about in Rachel's life? What about when she met Jacob? She fell in love with him. At first sight, I think. And Jacob fell in love with her at first sight. And yet, Jacob had to work 7 years. 7 years he had to work to marry Rachel. And then he was deceived by Laban, Rachel's dad, Rachel's father. And he had to work another. He ended up marrying Leah. Through deception, he had to work another 7 years to marry Rachel. How many tears do you think Rachel, how many tears were coming down her face at that time? How many tears, how much sorrow did she go through because of all this? Her heart would have been filled with sorrow and grief. We can think of Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, Mary and Joseph. Mary was told that she was going to give birth to Emmanuel. God be with us. God is with us. She was told she was going to give birth to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. How would she have felt then? She would have felt absolutely glorious, wouldn't she? And yet Joseph, an angel, had to come to Joseph to tell him not to ditch Mary. And then they had to walk miles and miles and miles to Bethlehem. And there was no room for them at the inn. And the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who came down from his heavenly glory, was born in a humble stable. That says everything, doesn't it, about how God wants us to live our lives. He wants us to live in humility. And how often are we filled with pride in our lives? How often? Pride rules our lives at times, even as Christians. We want to be noticed. The Lord Jesus Christ was born in a stable. How do you think that would have made Mary, his mother, feel? How? She must have been expecting great things. She must have been expecting that that Jesus would have been born somewhere better than a humble stable. But that's where he was born. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, was born in a stable. And he lived that life of holiness for you and I. He lived that life of perfection for you and I. What must we do? What must we do? There's nothing we can do. It has been done. It is a finished work. It was a finished work on the cross of Calvary. There's nothing you can do. There is nothing I can do to earn salvation. Nothing. We can't work for it. We can't earn it. No matter how much money we've got. The richest person on this planet someday will die. The poorest person on this planet someday will die. God doesn't bother about whether we are rich or poor. He bothers about whether we've given our heart to his son. That's what the Father is interested in. That's what our Heavenly Father is interested in. That's what the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ is interested in. I'm asking you today, what are you interested in today? What am I interested in today? These are questions we must answer tonight. Who knows about tomorrow? I might go to bed tonight and never wake up. But I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. The question is, do you people know where you're going? Because you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way of salvation. No other way. It's frightening. It is absolutely frightening. And it puts the fear of God into me. There is nothing we can do to be saved. But there are things we can do to show that we are saved. One of the first things I did was stop swearing when I gave my life to the Lord. I didn't want to swear anymore. And I didn't understand why I didn't want to swear. Because my lack of knowledge in the scriptures was poor, we'll say that. I was utterly ignorant of what the scriptures said. I was utterly ignorant, even though I'd given my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was utterly ignorant of his power. His power. Jesus Christ's power. Where are you going to spend eternity? Where am I going to spend eternity? That is the big question. What are we going to do about our sins? What are we going to do about our sins? Where are our sins going to take us? Where are your sins going to take you? Where are my sins going to take you? There's only two places. There are only two places. We can spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, praising him forevermore. That's my wish. That's my wish, to praise the Lord Jesus Christ forevermore for what he's done for me as a personal saviour. But he's also a collective saviour. He came into the world to save sinners. And sometimes I can finish that verse myself, of whom I am chief. I may not do the sins I once did when I was unsaved. We may not do the sins that we did when we were unsaved. but a saved people. When we do sin, we should feel great remorse about these sins. How many of us actually do feel this great remorse about sinning? How many of us? And I'm guilty as well. I'm guilty as well. I admit it. I hold my hand up. I'm far, far from perfect. I have my faults, just like all of us in here. But Jesus Christ is merciful. We cannot meet the demands of holiness that God demands. I cannot meet the demands of holiness that God demands. But them demands have already been met by the great substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does it say in verse 35? Our reading, Jesus wept. That is an amazing verse. How Jesus Christ, God, God incarnate, God in the flesh, how he can weep. How can Jesus Christ weep? Why would he weep? Why? This weeping of the Lord Jesus Christ showed us his inward groans and griefs. He was groaning inwardly at the sins of the people. But he was also groaning inside because of the grief that they were showing on their faces for Lazarus. Jesus knew what the punishment of sin was, as he was God. He was God. He still is God. He knew the punishment of sin. I do not think he was weeping for Lazarus here, because he knew in a few moments, a few minutes, he was going to raise him back to life. So Jesus Christ weeping here was not for Lazarus. That's my belief. It was for the people. He was inwardly and sincerely affected, Jesus here. Sincerely affected by the groaning of the people, by the effects of sin. He saw it firsthand. He saw the effects of sin firsthand. The grave of Lazarus, the tomb of Lazarus, and the weeping of the people. When we're at the graveside with people we've loved, how do we actually feel? I'll tell you a personal story. It wasn't at the graveside, it was in the hospital. When my dad passed away, there was 89 of us around the hospital bed. 89 of us were around the hospital bed. And we could see, each of us could see his heart slowing, 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 slowing down. And then it stopped. His heart stopped. What did I do? I was on one side holding his hand. My brother was on the other side holding his hand. And I hugged him. And I wasn't going to let go. But the reason why I hugged him, the reason was I tried to do something very, very silly. I tried to keep my dad's spirit in his body. The moment we die, the spirit leaves the body.
but I tried to keep his spirit in his body. I was in the hospital all night long with him, and I was trying to make deals with God for my dad's life. We can't do that. We're human beings. We're nothing but human beings, nothing but the dust of this earth. And there I was trying to make a deal with God. How stupid does that sound? But the Lord's heart is full of sympathy and kindness. I can say that, and I could say that then. I was talking to a nurse in the hospital that week, and she said, "He was a good man, your dad." I said, "How do you know?" "He didn't know him." I said, "He was a sinner, like all of us." She didn't like what I said, and I didn't like what I said. But I was revealing God's truth to her. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All of us are sinners. And all of us need the sympathy and the kindness of God. But it's undeserving. We don't deserve it. I don't deserve anything but God's wrath, eternal punishment. That's what I deserve in my life, for my life. And if we're all honest with ourselves, we can all say the same thing. All of us deserve God's wrath. All of us deserve eternal punishments. But as God is merciful, and he's wonderful, and he's lovely, and we can see the compassion he has when we read this one verse. Jesus wept. He's weeping for the whole human race, because we've fallen from God. "All ye like sheep have gone astray." Isaiah 53. All of us. As saved people, God wants to draw us closer to himself. That's what he wants to do with us. But do we have that yearning to come closer and closer and closer to God? We should want that yearning. Do we have it? How much of the word of God do we actually know? How much? If I'm honest with myself, I'd say virtually nothing with myself. I'm a human being. We're all human beings. We make mistakes. We sin greatly in our lives. And here, Jesus is weeping. But what did he do? What did the Lord Jesus Christ do? Lazarus had been in the grave, in the tomb, 4 days. And Jesus Christ said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came forth. That is the power of the word. That is the power of Jesus. The wonder working power of Jesus. And today we have that power within our lives. The Holy Spirit. The greatest miracle on this planet is the changing of the human heart, is the cleansing of the human heart, is the repentance of the human heart, something that is so sadly missing in the church in this nation. Not in this church, but in other churches, repentance isn't being taught. people are going to these churches, and there's people who are living in sin in these churches, and they're not being convicted for the sin. Those ministers will be held to account. We need to preach God's truth when we stand up here. We need to teach God's truth when we're out in the world. Is this what we are doing in our lives? Is it? Verse 36. Verse 35 says, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. They're talking now about Lazarus. How Jesus loved Lazarus. Jesus loves each of us in here this evening if we are truly his. But only if we are truly his. There's one parable in the Bible that absolutely petrifies me. It is the parable of the sower, where only 25% of professing Christians are saved. That parable terrifies me. There'll be ministers in hell, and they deserve to be there. Because all of us deserve to be there. None of us deserve God's mercy. None of us, not one of us. Jesus Christ showed his power here. But a few days later, it was the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who was paying the penalty for our sins. And people who had welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem in victory were now persecuting him. Come off the cross if you're the Son of God. That's human nature. So fickle, aren't we? We are so fickle. We'll say one thing one minute, and then the next minute we're saying another thing, the exact opposite. That is human nature, down to a T. But the Lord can change us. Not only does the Lord forgive us for our sins when we repent, he changes us. He makes us more loving people. As God loves us, what are we to do? We are to love the world as God loves us. Even the unlovely of society, we're to love them. Jesus Christ was on the cross of Calvary. He was in the tomb for 3 days. We have verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. All this was according to the scriptures, all according to God's word, all according to the Old Testament, which the Jews believe. And they still believe the Old Testament today. But they cannot see the Lord Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They cannot see the Lord Jesus Christ as Messiah. And Jesus Christ came down for the Jews first and the Gentiles second. So, what are we doing? Are we praying for the Jews? Are we praying for the Jewish nation in private? And are we also praying for the Gentiles? Those people that detest us, those people that hate us. Are we doing this as well? Because this is what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. That's what he did. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And those people were murdering him. But do you know, if we are not saved, we are his murderers as well. If we are not truly saved, we murdered the Lord Jesus Christ. We may not have been there in person, but we were there in spirit. So what do you believe tonight? What do you believe? Where will you spend eternity? Where? It is only the precious blood that cleanses sin. It is only the precious blood. And who is it that shows us this? Who is it? It's a person. The Holy Spirit, the great comforter, shows us these truths. It's the Holy Spirit within our hearts this evening. If he's not, we can make sure he is when we leave this building this evening. There's people in here, people can talk to quite easily. If you know not the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, there's people in here you can talk to. May the Lord bless his word. Amen. Shall we pray? Almighty God, Father in heaven, we thank thee once again for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he showed he was truly human with his tears. And we thank thee, Father God, that the Lord Jesus Christ is not just human, he is also fully God, fully human, fully God, two natures entwined in one being. Oh, Father God, how wonderful thou art. We thank thee for the King of Kings. We thank thee, Father God, for that relationship you enable us to have with your wonderful Son. Oh, gracious God, Father in heaven, be about us for good now. Enable each of us to travel home safely. And we pray, Father, that each of us will be found in thy house next Sunday. In Christ's precious name, we ask these things. Amen.